Welcome to The Lobbying Show, a podcast about the people in government relations, how they got into it, what their jobs entail, what works, and what doesn't. I'm your host, Jim O'Brien. Well, hello, lobbying world. Today we sit down with Lucy Gettman, the Executive Director of Women in Government, or WIG. Lucy, like many of our guests, is a very hard worker, and I think you will enjoy hearing from her. First, WIG is a nonpartisan organization of women state legislators. WIG encourages women to run for office. Lucy got her start in Ohio, and she received 2 degrees from Ohio State University. Go Buckeyes. She also got her start working at the Ohio State Capitol, where she also worked for the Attorney General. Lucy is an adjunct professor at American University, where she also earned a graduate certificate in Women in Politics and Political Leadership. And while doing that, she was a congressional fellow in Washington, D.C., while also working full-time. So quite an incredible person. You may see Lucy at any of the state legislative conferences in the summer. She goes to CSG and NCSL and does all that. And they also have internships. So for those of you in college or interested in an internship, Lucy talks about that at the end of the interview. So here you go. Here's Lucy, and I hope you enjoy the interview. So we are here in Washington, D.C., or technically we're actually in Virginia, with Lucy Gettman of Women in Government, WIG, WIG as it is known. It's Washington, D.C., so as we all know, there has to be an acronym. And Lucy, good morning. Nice to be with you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we couldn't be more excited to sit down and talk to you, particularly this year. A perfect timing to sit down and talk to you. I mean, with the Me Too movement and everything going on and all the women running for office, how has your life or job changed or the organization over the past, you know, year or 18 months?
Well, it's been a very exciting time because, as you said, 2018, this election cycle is could be a real game changer, and women are going to be leading the pack on that change. We have more women running for office at the state level, from governors to state legislators to other state level political leaders. And while that doesn't automatically translate into more women in office, certainly it's representative of a robust pipeline that will serve our democracy well in the future. So we've been able to put a lot of attention into supporting women who are in elective office, women state legislators, but we're also turning our sights to emerging political leaders, whether they're college women or adults who are thinking about running for office. We see our options, our opportunities, and our responsibility to support women, both emerging and current political leaders.
And how do you do that? How do you reach out to people who may not be in political office and encourage them to get involved?
Well, one of the programs that we offer is called Future Women in Government. And when we do a national event, a conference, regardless of where it is in the country, we reach out to colleges and universities in the area, even high schools.
Oh, we invite them to the event.
Exactly. Invite college women to come to the event. We will pair them up with a woman legislator for the day for some mentoring and just some one-on-one conversation, in addition to providing them with additional programming. So that's our investment in the future of women political leadership. We've also participated in nonpartisan training for women who are interested in running for elective office, the most recent being the Ready to Run program in the Washington, D.C. area in February or March. And we also were a participating organization with the recent National Courage to Run 5K, which supports organizations like ours who are interested in supporting women political leaders.
Okay. Well, and I'm looking at right here the 24th Annual State Directors Conference and Healthcare Summit, one of the many meetings that you have. So did that just take place this month?
It sure did. And we had a couple of wonderful bookends to that conference. We had a great conversation with Governing Magazine about why organizations like Women in government make a difference, how we are different because of our commitment to being bipartisan and nonpartisan. But we also bookended that at the end of the conference with a great panel on the future of women's political leadership, and included such folks as Susanna Welford from She Should Run to Betsy Fisher Martin of the Women in Politics Institute at American University, and the idea being that that women's political leadership is on the rise and is going to continue to be so. But what came out of both of those bookends and all the programs in between, whether it be rare diseases or just this election cycle, is that women political leaders, like all political leaders, need support, need mentoring, need folks to sort of show them the way.
And that's what you do,
mm-hmm.
and on a bipartisan manner, as you
Correct.
Mentioned. And you said this year that you there's more women than ever running for office. Do you mm-hmm. have any numbers or percentages? It's probably too early.
Well, certainly. We work primarily with women state legislators.
Right.
And the last, the peak of women, of women running for state legislative offices, the last one was in 2016, and they were in the neighborhood of 2,800 women running. However, we have a 25% increase over that in this election cycle just 2 years later, well over 3,000 women running for state legislative seats.
Boy, that's incredible.
It is.
A 25% increase.
And I think this is indicative of a robust pipeline for the future. And it's important for a couple of reasons. Half the women members of Congress were state legislators before they came to Washington, D.C. So anything good that's happening with women in the state legislative level is good for women in Congress. And, you know, they're not all going to win, either because they're running against incumbents or they're in really tough districts. But it really is a good indicator that our democracy is well served by this rising interest in running for office.
Yeah. And what percentage right now legislators are women?
State legislators, between 25 and 26%.
Okay.
And that number, that percentage was pretty stagnant for the last few years. And so we think we might be
increasing a little bit.
Busting through the logjam.
Yep. Okay. And you mentioned American University, and you taught or do teach there?
I do. I'm adjunct faculty in the School of Public Affairs, which houses the Women in Politics Institute, and they have a number of programs that support emerging political leaders, and I am very happy to be a part of that.
That's great. And how long have you taught there?
6 or 7 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. So how long have you been at WIG?
I've been at Women in Government about a year and a half.
Okay.
After a very long career as an advocate and lobbyist for education.
Okay.
Having started my career working for a state legislature, the Ohio House of Representatives.
And you went to, you're a Buckeye, you went to Ohio State?
I sure did. Got two master's degrees there. Go Bucks.
That's great. And so what was your, we like to ask people, what was your first government or internship mm-hmm. that you had?
That is a great question because it was
really?
In...
Really? We should write that down.
It was in the Ohio State House, and it really changed the trajectory of my career. When I was getting my master's in social work, I got a placement in the Ohio State House, and it helped me realize that important decisions were being made in those marble halls every single day. And I knew from that moment going forward that I wanted to be a part of that by providing good information to decision makers and supporting the good work at the state legislative level.
That's great. And that was for a session or a semester?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And but the location where I was interning ended up hiring me for a couple of years.
Okay.
And the rest is history.
And then you spent but you did spend some time in the Attorney General's office in Ohio?
I did,
okay.
Yeah, almost 3 years. And that was also very rewarding because I got to administer federal funds from the Department of Justice that went to really important programs like domestic violence shelters, rape crisis centers, and actually county prosecutor's offices for victims assistance programs.
Okay. Did you have any other jobs in Ohio before you came to Washington?
I did. My first job out of the State House was with an organization called the Inter-University Council. So I got to be an advocate for four-year public universities.
In Ohio?
In Ohio.
Okay. How many are there in Ohio?
At the time, there were 14 plus a couple of medical schools.
Wow.
But I also got to spend several years as an advocate for access to higher education at a state agency called the Student Aid Commission. And so I got to advocate for student financial aid programs, which was very exciting. And then I went to the Attorney General's office and then landed a great job for a national organization of reading teachers that's based in Ohio called the Reading Recovery Council. So I got to advocate for federal funding and support for professional development for teachers and other programs that would help students learn to read.
And a certain age group, like the, or really all?
Well, it focused on actually first grade students, the idea being that teacher professional development to intervene with students who are very early in their school career really charts the path for success going forward.
Okay. And how long did you spend there?
I was there for 9 years.
Wow. That's good. And did you obviously enjoyed it?
I sure did.
And was it successful?
It was very successful.
And is it still operating today?
It sure is. And actually, it's based at the Ohio State University in the College of Education and Human Ecology.
And in your opinion, couldn't be at a better school?
Without a doubt. Except maybe American University.
I don't know. That's so good. So you spent 9 years there, and then what?
Well, then I took an interesting leap. Speaking of American University, I earned a graduate certificate in women, politics, and political leadership at American University. And two really interesting things came out of that. First of all, I got to be a graduate congressional fellow on the Hill for a member of Congress, which was very illuminating and interesting. But I also did some work where I learned about local school board members and learned that, well, now 45% of locally elected school board members are women. So as a location of political leadership, school boards are really, really important. My next job was with the National School Boards Association, and I got to, again...
All the school boards across the country?
Correct. Yeah. It's 90,000. Although we were a federation of state school boards associations, like the Ohio School Boards Association, so that they were our partners in this work.
Right.
And so again, I got to be an advocate for education.
Wow, 90,000 members, either directly or indirectly. That must have kept you busy.
It did. Got to do some great work on reauthorizations of, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Got to do a lot of work on child nutrition issues. Got to do some work on advocacy around education technology, and it's important to closing achievement gaps. I got to do some very, very good work there.
That's great. And was the program at American University full-time?
Yes, but I was also working full-time.
As the congressional fellow?
That was in addition. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was working full time for the Reading Recovery Council of North America, and going to school on top of that.
Okay. And was that in Washington D.C. or were you doing it remotely?
It was in Washington D.C., but I was going back and forth between Ohio and Washington D.C. while I was doing that.
Wow.
I was busy.
Boy, I'll say.
And it was wonderful. I loved it.
And how long did you do that for?
I did accelerate the process because a graduate certificate can take up to 2 years. It took me about 1 year.
Okay. And you're going back and forth probably every week.
Yes. But I was doing that for my job anyway, because I have a house and a husband in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
We met when we both worked at the Ohio State House, and we've both had advocacy careers ever since. And so I keep my Buckeye connections.
And so you still go back and forth quite a bit.
I do.
Okay. And was it tough? Was that the congressional fellow, was that a tough application process or thorough, I should say?
Well, I had to generate my own, like I had to reach out and, you know, identify a member of Congress that would, you know, welcome me into the fold. But honestly, that wasn't hard because, you know, I knew some of the women legislators and the great leadership opportunities that they provided and the good work that they were doing in Congress. Because I had done work on federal education policy, I knew some of the people that worked on the Hill. So I was very fortunate that a member of Congress from Ohio welcomed me with open arms, and I was able to do some good work there, and I really enjoyed it.
That's great. And how much time a week was that? Was it like one day a week?
Well, it was 20 hours a week, and I took vacation time from my regular job to do that.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the best professional experiences I've ever had.
That's you had a lot going on.
I did, but everything about it appealed to my my passion for women's political leadership.
Well, that's great. And do you enjoy teaching at American University?
I do. It's one of those situations.
It's kind of a bad question because what are you supposed to say? No, Jim.
Oh,
actually, it's terrible.
Oh no! Without hesitation, I can say it's just amazing because I feel like I learn as much, if not more, from the students than they do from me, because of their interests and the ways that they're engaging. And again, this year in particular, there's a high level of political engagement. So it's
and if they have an interest in government, you can obviously help with
Absolutely.
Guiding them into that, whatever they may want to do.
Oh, absolutely. Like I invite them to participate, say, in our future women in government programs for our Washington conference, for example. And I'm always happy to support their aspirations going forward.
And how many students do you have in a typical class?
25.
Okay.
Yeah, it's maxed out at 25 because the courses I teach are weekend intensives. So we're together all day Saturday and Sunday. And then there's sort of research and paper writing on either side of that, but because we're together for a concentrated but relatively short period of time, we do keep the class sizes small.
Okay, and do you have to do a lot of travel for your current job?
I am fortunate that I get to do that. I get to do a lot of work in the states because in addition to our national conferences, we do a lot of state-based work. We can conduct policy roundtables, record podcasts, record public service announcements, work with women's legislative caucuses in the states, so that we do a lot of state-based work. And and that's where we want to be because that's who we serve.
Right. And so you also go to various conferences, NCSL, or I don't know if you do CSG or any of those.
Yes, and actually Women in Government is a proud affiliate of the Council of State Governments. That actually will be 1 year old next month. And so we, it's a very helpful collaboration for both of us. And of course, we work very well with the National Conference of State Legislatures, and we also participate with the National Black Caucus of State Legislators Conference, and we have a lot of good friends in the field.
And so, at let's say if you were going to a CSG conference, mm-hmm. would you hold forums or receptions or something like that?
Yep, we have what we call our Wake Up with Wig breakfast.
Ah.
And then as time and space permits, we will also conduct a session on either a topic of interest related to policy or just the general topic of women in politics.
Okay. Now, in the campaigns that you've worked on, have you done, we like to try to ask people, did you do any like grassroots type work with these organizations?
As an individual, I did, but all the organizations I've worked for have been, bipartisan or nonpartisan, so we don't engage directly in campaigns.
Right. I meant more when you... So you're really more advocating. So it's never. Are you ever advocating for a policy, a certain policy, where you try to get support for it?
Well, through Women in Government, what we do is do research on policy topics, and mm-hmm. then identify best practices in states and then disseminate that information so that it can be replicated.
Got it.
And we do that through toolkits, podcasts, issue briefs. All of our conferences involve what we call bill shares, which is just in sort of an open mic for folks who want to share what they're working on, and anybody in the room can pick it up and take it home and work on it. So we are all about disseminating best practices.
Got it. So of all the jobs that you've mentioned besides women in government, what was one of your favorite jobs?
So I can honestly say that every job I've ever had has been my dream job. And I'm always
amazed
at that time.
Yeah.
And one thing I'll say about my current role, which sort of speaks to that piece, is I learned about the opportunity at Women in Government from folks related to the search process that had been legislators in Ohio when I worked in the legislature.
Oh,
so the wonderful sort of convergence of everything I've done throughout my career happened with this job. And for me, it's instructive because every job we ever have, all of us, can create opportunities for the future, and maybe even when we least expect them, because it happens 20 years later. So,
right. Good advice. Mm-hmm. When you look back, are there certain people that you think of as key people in your career or having a big influence, maybe even a mentor?
Well, honestly, I'll go back to the College of Social Work at Ohio State University because, again, having my clinical placement or internship in the State House really helped me understand what I wanted to do, which was mm-hmm. not only provide good information to policymakers, but also to provide information and training to other advocates so their voices will be heard in the legislative and the policymaking process. So I really have to give my academic experience a lot of credit for creating opportunities for me to experience different things and learn what I wanted to do. I will also say I had lots of great role models and mentors throughout my career. When I worked at the Attorney General's office, it was for the first and only woman Attorney General in Ohio. And so I can honestly say that basically every boss I've ever had has been a great role model and a great mentor, male or female.
Yeah.
But I've been very fortunate to work for a lot of great women.
And I bet now, your organization must really act as you said, I think role model is a better term for many, many people looking to get into government and just looking for kind of, how do I do this and what do I do? And
absolutely.
So that must be incredibly rewarding.
It's very rewarding, and it also speaks to sort of the DNA of the organization, because it's the organization has been and continues to be fully committed to being, bipartisan.
Yep.
Because, of course, women represent the full continuum of political thought, and we respect that diversity and want to be a place where all voices are heard and respected.
And do you have internships in your organization?
We do.
Okay.
And we
can
do.
You tell our listeners about that in case we have any college age or
certainly.
People listening?
Absolutely. So, if there are folks listening that are interested in exploring what it means to be a leader in public life and would like to spend some time putting together our events, researching some policy issue briefs and toolkits and the things that we do, we can provide you with some wonderful opportunities.
Great. And just contact you through the website? Or
absolutely.
Oh, great. And then how are you funded?
We are funded by a number of mechanisms. Of course, we are very fortunate to receive charitable contributions. We work with our private sector stakeholders and partners on putting together sort of thought leader programs, the likes of which I've described. So we get some sponsorships.
So the different events, if organizations
can
look into being sponsors, that's what.
Yep. And we've done some grant-funded work on issues as varied as improving employment outcomes for people with disabilities in the state leadership role in that space, and securing economic security and opportunity for families and children. I mean, so we do a lot of work.
So, Lucy, I'm looking at Women in Government at a glance, It's been 30 years. There's 1,853 women legislators. It's incredible.
And actually, there have been a few more since
then.
That, yes, because there were a lot of special elections, even in so far in 2018, and so it's actually more closer to 1875, 1880 in that range.
That's just incredible. And on the what I'm looking at, I see leadership, participation, activities, and so. If there's a young person listening, say a woman in college, and thinking about getting involved, what advice do you have for that person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say for young women currently in college, there are lots of opportunities to get involved where you are, whether it's student government or college political organizations, in your sorority or fraternal organization. Any leadership opportunities that you can take advantage of, do it. And if you're thinking about running for office, do it. There's a student at American University that's running for the state legislature in upstate New York, and so she's commuting to complete her academic work.
I wonder where she got that idea from.
Sounds like you. Well, she has spoken to our class, yes. there's a state legislator in Florida who, she's 21 years old. So that Don't let age, don't let experience, don't let anything stop you, because if you don't win the first time, you can run again. If you don't win, you could get appointed to something. If you're interested, do it.
And, where you teach at American University, they also have a program where students can come down here full time, right, and take classes and work on the Hill?
So there, yes, they have sort of a Washington semester program, and that's very, very popular. I will also say that the Women in Politics Institute has a professional development program for young professionals called We Lead, and they gather talented and aspirational women together once a month during the academic year, so about seven times a year, to provide professional development on everything from fundraising to communications to campaign skills. So the American University provides a lot of unique experiences.
And they can find information about that program also at American University?
Correct. School of Public Affairs, Women in Politics Institute.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Lucy, this has been great. We really appreciate it. Appreciate you sitting down. And
it's been my pleasure. And if folks remember one thing about women in government, it's that we connect legislative leaders. And you check that hashtag, connecting legislative leaders. And we'd love to hear from everybody listening.
Great. Thank you so much, Lucy.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, there you have it. Great interview. We really enjoyed sitting down with Lucy. Lucy, thank you very much. And to everyone out there, Happy New Year. We hope 2019 is a great year for all of you, particularly Lucy and women in government. And everyone, please be safe tonight if you're going out. And also, if you like our podcast and want to help spread the word, the best thing you can do, and it's easy, is to subscribe to our podcast and leave a comment wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify. If you want additional insights about our guests or upcoming shows, sign up for the Monday Morning Coffee with The Lobbying Show at our website, thelobbyingshow.com. If you're not already, be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Lobbying Show, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. So to everyone out there, this has been a very exciting year for us. We're wrapping up the year, our first year with this podcast. We hope you are enjoying it. Leave us a comment, and here's to 2019. So Happy New Year.